I'm on here and I'm up. You can hear me now. Thank you. Well, good morning, and what a fabulous day yesterday, wasn't it? Goodness me. Until the thunder and lightning. It is wonderful to come together and worship together. I know there's quite a few folk away, but it's lovely to see everyone. As you'll see from the order of service, I'm away myself from tomorrow for 2 weeks, and I'm delighted to say that Robert Allen will be leading worship while I'm away on the two Sundays, and Reverend Helen Jameson from Carluke will cover any pastoral matters. Both Christian Meditation Group on the Saturday morning and our prayer group on a Friday evening, they're both stopping for the whole of July. We're trying this year to try and stop virtually everything for the whole of July, kind of like a Sabbath, to give everybody a rest and time to restore our energies ready to go again in August and September. I have a lovely card that just arrived today, which I want to read out to you. It's a beautiful card with flowers on it, and it's "Thank you very much. To the congregation of 4th St. Paul's Parish Church, hope you know how much your thoughtfulness is appreciated. Thank you so much for the lovely bouquet of flowers I received on Sunday. It was a lovely surprise, and it certainly brightened up my Sunday. Yours sincerely, Katie McManus." Isn't that lovely? I think all the ladies who do the flowers every Sunday tend to be unsung heroes. So when you get a card like that, it's very special, and it reminds us all to say a huge thank you to all those who do the flower rota. So I'll leave that out for you. We are here to worship God. God is love, and we are God's beloved children. We can only love one another because he first loved us, and his love is a perfect love, which drives out all fear. Our psalm today is Psalm 16, and we're just reading a few verses from it. "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen." Our first hymn is number 543, "Longing for Light," hymn 543. I realize one of the intimations that I omitted to say but was on the screen earlier was to thank everyone who supported Laura, Jane and Heather in their sponsored walk for motor neuron disease. They raised, was it £145 and put in a lot of effort. Let's give them a round of applause. So I've got another story for you. This is one that I'm very, very fond of, so I hope you enjoy it as well. It's called The Piano Player. Wishing to encourage her young son's progress on the piano, a mother took her boy to a Paderewski concert. After they were seated, the mother spotted a friend in the audience and walked down the aisle to greet her. Seizing the opportunity to explore the wonders of the concert hall, the little boy got up and eventually explored his way through a door marked No Admittance. When the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returned to her seat and discovered to her horror that her wee boy was missing. But she had no chance to exclaim because the curtains parted and the spotlights focused on the beautiful Steinway piano in the middle of the stage. In horror, the mother saw her little boy sitting at the keyboard, innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But at that moment, the great piano master made his entrance. He quickly moved to the piano, and I'm sure everybody held their breath. And he whispered in the wee boy's ear, "Don't quit, keep playing." Then leaning over, Paderewski reached down with his left hand and began filling in a bass part. And soon his right hand reached to the other side of the child and he added a running obbligato. Together, the old master and the young novice transformed a frightening situation into a wonderfully creative experience. The audience was mesmerized. The author of this story is unknown. I wish I could thank them. And I believe that what that story tells us is that that's what God does with us. We're the beginners. We're the wee children who wonder where we really shouldn't go. And we do our best, but it's pretty feeble. But God is like that piano maestro. And he whispers in our ear, "Don't quit, keep playing." And he reaches round us, embracing us with his loving arms and enhancing everything that we do so that together we can make the most wonderful, graceful, flowing music. Let's pray. Loving, living God, we thank you for the gift of stories, for the imagery that they bring to our minds, and how they communicate the real truth of your love for us in a way that can stay with us. Lord, help us all to know that we are like that little boy, and that you love us just as we are. And rather than scolding us or telling us to stop, you whisper in our ear, "Don't quit, keep going." And you embrace us with your loving arms and enhance everything that we do. Lord, we thank you for being such an amazing, loving God. And so we pray in the words that Jesus taught us, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as God helps us, we can also help one another. So our next hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, number 694 in the hymn books. Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving, living God, your way is holy. What God is so great as you? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples, whom you have redeemed with your strong arm. We approach you as your faithful people. Our ears are open to your word. Our hearts are open to your comfort, renewal, and challenge. Pour out your truth upon us as we worship you. For your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as you? We know this, Lord, yet we keep denying you or putting off the changes we know we need to make. So forgive us, Lord, when we promise to cut out the tales, the tittle and tattle, the scandalous stories, the gossip and prattle. We promise that our lips will be sealed tomorrow, Forgive us, Lord, when we promise to cut out the rows, to utter no more harsh words, that not a sound will be heard. We'll be all sweetness and light tomorrow. Forgive us, Lord, when we promise to stop judging. No more harsh criticism, no more snide remarks, that all we will speak will be encouragement and praise tomorrow. Loving, living God, we thank you that in your infinite mercy, you forgive us today and offer us the fruit of your Spirit so we can be changed today. Amen. Invite Bill forward to read our Bible readings, the first being Galatians chapter 5 and the second one from Luke chapter 9.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires that it is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit that is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Luke 9. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers out ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people were not welcoming him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you forever, wherever you go." Jesus replies, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." he said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Amen.
Thank you, Bill. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. I'll try carrying on using this microphone with it not fastened to my waistband, but if it starts giving interference again, I'll come down and use the lectern. But first, we'll sing before the sermon hymns 619 and 620, which go together as two verses of "Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me," hymns 619 and 620. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I don't like the word forbearance, I'm afraid. I'll stick with the one that I learned. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This list of fruit of the Spirit is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because the presence of these fruit in any person's life is what, for me, marks them as Christians. Paul wrote that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. My understanding is that as we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, these fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives, and there is no law against being loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled, is there? And receiving these gifts, these fruit, is what enables us to obey Jesus' command to love our neighbor as ourselves. I read many years ago about a prisoner who came to faith while he was in prison. Once he was released and settling into the community, he returned to the church he'd attended as a child. He remembered as a wee boy sitting reading the Ten Commandments which were painted on the walls of the church. As a child, he had hated all these rules, all the thou shalt not. So he was unsure about how he'd feel when he read them again. As he sat in the church, he suddenly recognized that thou shalt not was a statement rather than a command. That now that he knew for himself the incredible depth of God's love for him, he was a changed man. He no longer had the desire to kill or steal, to dishonor his parents, have an affair, tell lies, or be jealous of other people. He had no need of any God other than the great I Am. He didn't want or need any idols. He'd given up swearing, and he took one day each week to rest and worship God. And in this way, we all, like that ex-prisoner, are set free from the law. But sadly, it's not something that happens overnight. Our spiritual growth is a lifelong process, and we have to resolutely follow Jesus. I'm always moved by reading that sentence. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It's difficult to stick to resolutions, even when we maybe make them at New Year with the best of intentions. But for Jesus, he knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He knew what lay ahead, and yet he was convinced that was the way he had to go. And he was determined not to be distracted or put off, even when the Samaritans refused to entertain him. Jesus' disciples, James and John, were, we might argue, rightfully angry with the Samaritans. James and John wanted to punish them. And maybe we often feel like that about people who wrong our best friend. But for to punish the Samaritans would be against that commandment which fulfills the entire law, to love our neighbors as ourselves. If the disciples had been filled by the fruit of the Spirit, they would not have wanted to call down fire on the people of Samaria. And so Jesus turned and rebuked them. And then it's quite interesting to see how Jesus demonstrates what loving your neighbor can sometimes look like. In this passage, it consisted of simply walking away and going to another village. You see, I think part of what lies behind this is that Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So there are instances when loving oneself comes into conflict with loving our neighbors. Sometimes it's right to simply walk away from a difficult situation, because sometimes staying could cause more hurt and damage to both parties. Immediately following these verses is the section entitled The Cost of Following Jesus. And at Kirk Session on Wednesday night, we looked at these verses together, and the thing that we all agreed on was they made very difficult reading. They ask such a lot of us. So we found ourselves asking, does Jesus really mean us to take these literally? The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I don't think he wants us to take them literally. Jesus almost always teaches in stories. My understanding is that it's more about how attached we are to things, about where our priorities lie, and it's about not putting things off until tomorrow. I'm not sure if we were to offer a prize for the best procrastinator in the church, but I think I'd probably win it. A while ago, I read a wee article called 10 Things God Won't Ask. And I don't know who wrote it, but there's some wisdom in it, so I'm going to share it. I've adapted it slightly. God won't ask what kind of car we drove, but he'll ask how many times we gave people a lift when they needed it. God won't ask how big and beautiful our house is, but he'll ask how many people we welcomed into it. God won't ask how many outfits we have in our wardrobe, but he will ask how many we help to clothe. God won't ask what our highest salary was, but he will ask if we compromised our faith to obtain it. God won't ask what our job title was, but he will ask whether we performed our job to the best of our ability. God won't ask how many friends we had. He will ask how many people to whom we made sure we were a friend. God won't ask in what neighborhood we lived. He will ask how we treated our neighbors. God won't ask about the color of our skin. He will ask about the quality and growth of our character. God won't ask how much of our time we use watching television, but he will ask how much we used caring for others. Some sobering things to read. And the fruit of the Spirit is what helps us to obey that all-important command to love our neighbors as ourselves. And often the person we find most difficult to love is ourselves. Once we learn to really love ourselves, loving our neighbor becomes easier. And loving ourselves is a free gift from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All we have to do is open ourselves to believe and accept God's love. And then it becomes so much easier to love others, to be joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled with others and ourselves. It does take a lifetime, but let it begin today, now. Let's not put it off till tomorrow. Amen. We'll now continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, how can we ever begin to thank you for the depth, the breadth, the height, the width of your love for us? And yet we do. We come here to worship you, and we bring these, our offerings, and we also offer our lives with grateful, humble hearts. And we ask that you continue to make the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives. And may these, our offerings, our worship, and our lives also be used to make your kingdom grow here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Hymn 159, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, we bring our thanks today. Hymn 159.
Thank you.
now invite Robert to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, creator of all, we thank you for the summer, for the warmth of sun and the long days. We thank you for the beauty we see all around us and for the opportunity to be outside and to enjoy your creation. We thank you for the increased time we have to be with friends and family, for the casual pace of the summer season. Draw us closer to you this summer. And as we rejoice in your presence, we remember before you all those who work to build up your church in love. We pray for all who seek forgiveness and want a new start. We ask that you will bless those who lead your church, and we pray for our ministers, for deacons, for readers and elders, both home and abroad in the worldwide church. May your church reflect your goodness and love and be a place of welcome and safety for all. We remember all who work for reconciliation between peoples and nations. We pray for all who seek to heal old hurts and historical grievances. Bless the peacemakers. Bless all who work to bring unity and understanding in their communities. Bless all who seek to bring justice and fair dealings to the world. We pray for our own country. Bless the Queen and grant to her ministers and counsellors righteousness and wisdom. Put in their hearts a desire to see a more just and equitable society, especially for the poorest among us. Guide all who are in public service, whether in Westminster, Holyrood, or in local councils. Prompt them that they may know humility, wisdom, and discernment in the fulfillment of their duties. We pray for the safety of the members of the armed forces and for those who work in emergency services. We thank you for their service and their willingness to endanger themselves and for the safety that they bring to us. Lord, we pray that our homes will reflect your love. Forgive our petty divisions and jealousies, our quarrelling and our anger. May our homes be places of tolerance, forgiveness, and compassion. May our homes and communities reflect your care and love. And we remember before you all those whose lives are spoiled by hatred and a desire for revenge. We pray for all who feel that they cannot be forgiven, and for those who cannot forgive. We ask your blessing on all who are troubled in mind and in spirit, and on all who are tempted to give up hope. We think of those who are ill at this time, in body, mind, or spirit. We think of those who have recently been diagnosed with an illness, and who must now come to terms with what that may mean in their daily lives. And we pray for those closest to them, as they support their loved ones in uncharted territory. We pray for the bereaved, those who have been recently bereaved, and those whose loss is many years old, asking that your comfort and peace be upon them. And we ask for your blessing upon our loved ones here on this earth and those departed from it, that they may be held in your eternal love. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you the prayers of our hearts. We offer up these prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. And Echoing part of our Bible reading, let's sing our closing hymn, hymn 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? Jesus says, follow me. So as we go out into the week ahead, into the summer ahead, may we be open to God's love. May the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives and not be eaten by the birds as so much fruit in our gardens is. And may we follow Jesus resolutely, moving and living and growing in Christ and Christ in us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore.